I'll be reading John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Good morning. You know what scares me? The fact that God will go to any length to help his children grow. Well, that sounds warm and fuzzy until you're on the side that gets used toward that purpose. You know, I think something's happened here since I've last seen you. I think Satan went to God and said, God, the Cedarloo Church will abandon you if you don't give them what they want. Have you read the book of Job before, church? I don't know if you know that that's a real thing. If you think Satan ain't after you as the church, I can tell you he's been after my family, and God hath put him down. Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 15 with me, if you would. I want you to know something while you're turning there. This sermon has cost me a lot, and I'm not just talking about finances. It's at great expense that God himself is bringing this lesson today through his word. I want you to listen. Because God wants you to know what has to be said today. God wanted me to know. And it was a rough journey. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. You know the story. I'm just going to read it to you to remind you. A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up, and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And he felt compassion for him. And he ran and he embraced him. And he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his fingers, put the sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older brother was in the field. When he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he received him back safe and sound." But he became angry, was not willing to go in. And his father came and began pleading with him, but he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I've never neglected your commands, and you have never given me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came home, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. And what is lost has been found." I want to ask you a question about the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son decided that he was going to run away, quite like our sister Charity a few weeks ago. I asked myself this question: what was going on in that prodigal son's mind that got him to the point where he was ready to run? If you've never felt that, you're not being truthful. Because this life has stress and pressures and anxieties and encumbrances. Boy, that was a big word. It has all this junk that wells up, and sometimes we just feel like running away. What must have been going on in this guy's mind? I think back to the times of my own life when I felt like running away. You know what, when you get the running shoes on, you know what's going through your mind a lot of times? I just can't handle it here. The pressures are too great. If I run away, if I go away, I'm going to get the desires of my heart. I'm going to have my needs filled. If I run away, I can get away from all the things in life that haunt me, that hinder me. If I run away, I can be happy. Folks, there are different voices that go on in your brain. One of my voices says, "Eat all the chocolate pie you want. It's good for you. It doesn't have any calories." That's the foolish voice. The wise voice says, "Hey, chubby. You know what I'm saying?" The prodigal son had some junk going on in his mind. He was listening to the wrong voices. Let me tell you what. You have different voices that happen in your brain. You need to come to terms with them, identify them, know which one Satan's going to use. I'll tell you which one Satan's going to use. The voice that talks the loudest and insist on immediate action, you better have some heads up. That's a foolish, fleshly, carnal voice that says, "Run. Get out your Nikes. Get out your Reeboks. Whatever it is that'll get you away." But church, the work of God is not done in the rearview mirror. And that's all you got when you're running. I don't know why I made notes. I can't even read them. Oh, yes. Another reason that I figured that the prodigal son may have ran is because of something that every single person in here has. Every person that's sitting in a pew in this auditorium has one of these. You all have a past. Anybody in here not have a past? Don't show your ignorance by raising your hand. I learned something over the past month. You can't live in the present if you don't deal with your past. Now, are you hearing me, church? I'll tell you what happens. If you want to camp out in the past, all you can do is survive miserably in the present. And let me tell you something. God did not make you to be survivalist. He created you for life and for life in abundance, John chapter 10, verse 10. And if it's not there, get a concordance. For sure, it's there. But you know what? Satan wants us to feel the victim. He wants us to feel the victim from our past so that he can crush our present and make it miserable. But when we're living in misery, we are not glorifying God and kingdom business. How many people in here's past haunts them? People willing to be honest. Great. All of us have got things in our past that we need to deal with so we can live in the present. This prodigal son had some junk in his past. But interestingly enough, the prodigal son... Am I too loud? The prodigal son decided that he was going to run off and leave the very people that could help him with his baggage. You know what that tells me about prodigal people, of which all of us have been from time to time? We lose our brain. When the running shoes are on and we take our first step, common sense leaves us. Hence, when he was in the foreign land and he came to his what? Senses. His sense left him. His reasoning left him. You know what? That's happened for me. To me. I know that I'm not anything different than you, really. How will Satan work in your life? Okay, next point. There are two people in the lives of the prodigal son. And I want to introduce you to the older brother. You heard about him a while ago. God did the introduction. I'd like to remind you of some things. The older brother was an angry person. The older brother was an unforgiving person. The older brother was not a loving person. I've been the older brother. I've wrestled with it for years. Not in small things, but in hand-picked things. Selfishness. Let me tell you, just in case you don't know what it's like to be the older brother, it's miserable. Let me tell you, you need to understand this, the most misery that you can feel in this world is an unforgiving heart. Just like you guys, my past has been up one road, down the other, up one road, round the... I've had unforgiveness in my heart toward my wife. And it created a situation where we were living in misery of the moment. Surviving and not living, right? Bitterness. Hardness. Anger about things of the past. That's true. Fire me if you don't like it. Preaching's that way, you know. God's in charge. I'm just telling you the truth. Anybody in here ever been the older brother? Am I it? Oh, thank goodness, I'm not alone. There's another person in the prodigal's life. The father. The father that had love and compassion. The father that was waiting for the son to come home. The father who tried to discourage the older brother from feelings of unforgiveness. This father was a loving and forgiving man. This father shows you who Father God is, right? Let me ask you a question. I want you to help me. Now, this is going to seem like the easiest question in the world, but please don't stick your foot in your mouth. It's a loaded question, okay? What is forgiveness? Well, that's easy. Anybody knows what forgiveness is? I don't think so, Tim. What's forgiveness? Dan, don't you know? Forgiveness is just when you drop something that exists between you and somebody else. Sweep it under the rug. I don't think so. Forgiveness is when you forget something that somebody did against you. You see, I hope you're going to catch this. Satan works in half-truths. You can catch some elements of truth, but the overall picture doesn't work. What's forgiveness? What is forgiveness? I'm glad you asked. I'm not going to tell you. Not right now. Because I have a place to tell you. Y'all are going to think I'm weird, but I've got a story to tell you. You see, not just the healing of my family. For those of you visiting, my wife and I had problems 4 weeks ago, and it was pretty rough and all that business. And now we're back together. We have to heal. The church has to heal. Our kids have to heal. All this healing in mind, so all that swimming around in my mind as I'm trying to preach God's Word to you. So I'm going to tell you a story. And I want you to not lose sight of the main character of the story. It's God. Are you with me? Colton, hey, you got the PowerPoint about ready? Don't turn it on yet. I've worked very hard at putting a PowerPoint presentation together just for you. I spent hours and hours and hours on it, and I hope you appreciate it, okay? That's just a primer to get you ready. Let me tell you a story. And don't get anxious for lunch because I'm not going to quit until I'm done. A few weeks ago, in desperation, Charity got out her running shoes and she left home. She was the prodigal daughter, okay? Charity left Sunday morning early, and I decided to preach anyway. That was kind of rough. Had a lot of response to that, though, didn't we? Letting God work through things. So there I am Sunday morning, and I decide that I'm not going to do this alone. You people are more than just the church. You're my family. After church, I asked people to leave, visitors to leave, and just us sitting here. And I poured out my heart to you and told you what was going on. It's the best thing that God's ever done in my life. God did not make His Christians to be people who hide. Let me tell you what happened as a result of that. I went home Sunday night, and I laid in my bed by myself, and I prayed. And the weirdest thing came into my mind. I decided to pray and ask God something very unspecific that was pretty specific. I said, God, how about this? How about you do the impossible in my life. I don't even know what the impossible is, so I can't even say it. How about you just pour your impossible into my life? I said, I'm ready for it. I need it. That's what I'm asking for. Didn't have a clue. But you know the weirdest thing happened to me? How many people in here have marriage problems? Be honest. I know a bunch of us. When you have marriage problems, you know something that happens often and has always been my MO? I get angry. When things aren't going my way, I get mad. And then I pout about it for 20 years. Ask my wife if you don't believe the last statement. I didn't get angry. The whole time Charity's gone, I didn't get angry one time. Praise God in heaven. Because let me tell you what, He works His business through love, not anger. So there, guess what y'all did? I want to tell you what you did. Because without your love, I would have probably fallen apart. You guys loaded my refrigerator down to where it fell through and it's now in the basement. I asked you to stop bringing food and you said, I can't. I'm bringing it anyway. I'm not lying. Your stomach, you're still bringing food. I'm saying, stop. Let me tell you what else you did. This church rocked this world with prayer. Church, let me tell you what, I don't say that lightly because you need to know something. You are victorious in Christ through your prayers. There is power in prayer, and I can feel the foundations of this earth shaking because of all of you. Some of you sent me gift cards to buy some groceries. Some of you, I'm not going to mention names, but Jean and Brenda, you launched a texting campaign to win the prodigal daughter home. They were plotting against Charity. She had no option but to come home, right? Annette Kelly. She called and checked on me every day and helped me talk through things that was just awful hard to think about. Carol sent stuff over to the house. Oh, there's so many stories, I don't think I can remember them all. I made a list, but I vowed not to keep so close to my notes. Brother Dave Smith has called me all the time, trying to get a hold of me, telling me he loves me. Your love just poured out and surrounded me. I was like a pearl covered in your sappy stuff. And I was growing. Elisha Lovejoy sent me, I think the next night, she sent me a verse. Everybody need to turn there. Psalms 34. You need to know these set of verses. Now, I'm going to start telling you weird stuff from here on out. God works in weird ways, and it's okay. You may think I'm a fruitcake here in a little bit. It's okay. I am a fruitcake. Nice to meet you. Psalms 34. Oh, was in 35. I'm glad they didn't move it. Oh, here we go. The next time you have a problem in your life, did you hear what I said? I didn't say if. I said the next time you have a problem in your life, you turn over and you read this passage and see what God won't work in your heart. Psalm 34, verses 17 through 19 says that the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You talk about 25 cc's of B12 in the arm. Isn't that what it is, that vitamin stuff? Man, I was reading this and I said, God's going to hear me when I cry out. He's going to be listening. He knows that I'm there. And not only that, He's going to deliver me. I don't have a clue how that's going to happen. I don't know if that'll happen in connection with my wife or not. But am I going to trust God? He says He's going to do it. Oh, man, you talk about good stuff. Thank you, Alicia Lovejoy, for reminding me of a wonderful verse. The next day comes about. It's only been 3 days. The texting war has started to get to Charity. Charity in the pig pen of life had come into her senses in California, of all places. Go figure on how you get to California with $300 in your pocket and no driver's license, no credit card. God was keeping watch on her, even in a foreign country. You know what I'm saying? That's California. It's a joke. There in the distant country, Charity sent me a text message. I hate telephones. Here's what the text said. The text said, "You said if I ever mess up, you'll never take me back." What is that? No question mark on the end, no period, no nothing. She said, "You said this." Yes, I did say that. But she had a question mark on the end of that in her mind, and I knew that. I want you to know something. I told Charity that. With monthly updates. Oh, you're right, Phyllis, to make that face. Phyllis does this. Honey, you're right. Charity's lived in the fear of rejection for all this time because of an unforgiving heart. You know what Charity's real question was with that text? It's not apparent. She wanted to know who was at home, the older brother or the father. So you know what I texted her back? Now, I worked hard at that PowerPoint presentation. If nobody gets the message of today's sermon, let's just hear you say it. Love conquers all. And it's true. From a distant land, Charity said, "Come and get me." I said, "Okay." So I called the airport, got on the line, whatever it was I did, I don't remember. No flights out of here. Going to California. No flights out of Cedar Rapids going to California. How was I going to get to California? I needed to get there before the end of the day. God said, "You're going, buddy." And I said, "Yes, sir, I'm on my way." How am I going to get there? I need a private jet. I need something. Lord, there's no flights. I called Brother Glenn. I said, "You might have to take me to Chicago." He said, "I'm ready right now." It's a loving brother, isn't it? I called my stepmother. And I said, "You know what? I can't think straight. Would you find me a ticket?" "Yep, no problem." Called me back 3 minutes later. "Got you a ticket. out of Cedar Rapids, leaving in a few hours. And I said, you did what? She said, get on there, I'll walk you through it. I guess there's a plane, there's a seat. I got down there to get on the plane. There was no empty seats. There's a 747 running around with an extra seat on it, and airlines don't even know about it yet. What I'm saying is, I asked for the impossible, didn't I? I don't get talking about Glenn too much because it's awful good for me to know I have a brother that cares about me that much. Glenn took care of me when I couldn't think straight. God put him in my life for that reason. I'm not even going to look at him. I'm just saying, bless the Lord for that. So I got on the airplane. It ain't going to do no good for me to look at my notes, is it? I got on the airplane, and I headed for a foreign land. You know, sometimes to help save a sinner out of fires of sin, sometimes you got to go out in the wilderness. You can't just stand on the other side of the street and say, leper, I hope you get better. Jesus come up and Jesus put his arm around the leper. Is there a message in that, church? Between Denver, Colorado, and Oakland, California, I had what Dr. Walker calls an epiphany. Let me put it this way. I met God at 32,000 feet. Next slide, please. Y'all missing the point here? Well, it says love conquers all in yellow. I got up. The pilot said, we're at 32,000 feet. We're cruising along. We'll be there just in a little while. I had me a little talk with God. And it turns out 32,000 feet is just the right height. My prayers had been hindered before. Go read 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5 or 7. Talking about a man and how he deals with his wife and the potential of hindering your prayers. My prayers had been hindered before, but now my heart's open. And I cried out to God there in my airplane seat. And I said, Father, you know, I'm really prone to directing my own steps. Go read Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 on that one. Father, I'm going to California because I want to go to California, but what do you want me to do? I said, Father, I'm not taking one more step without you giving me some direction. I ain't going to do it. Maybe you don't want me to go to California. Maybe you do. I said, Father, I said, I need you to do something for me. I said, I need you to move your Holy Spirit in my heart and tell me what to do so that I can please you. That's an awful dangerous prayer because how do we know what God wants us to do? Right? And I'm saying, no, God, I ain't got time to read it. I need it. Tell me what to do. And while the ooh was still in my mouth, now y'all may fire me at the end of the day. I did not hear the voice of God, but here's what happened. Tell me what to do. And as soon as the ooh come out, that's all I'm thinking about. I'm pleading with God, tell me what to do. My mouth opened and said two words and I recognized them. My mouth opened before I had no brain engagement. Are you with me? And my mouth said, love is patient. Oh, I know that. is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not self-seeking. It is not rude. Anybody know what the next passage? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in case you're not figuring that out. Let me tell you what the next passage says, because I paused at that moment, and in my mind I could see it being underlined. It wasn't this. We're not talking about Daniel's handwriting on the wall, but it's being underlined. Love keeps no record of wrong. I got out of jail at 32,000 feet. I understood then and there the whole crux of our problem. I didn't know how to forgive. Academically, I can tell you all about forgiveness. Quote the Greek and do a pretty good job of it. But I didn't have it in here. I didn't know it in here. So what is forgiveness? I had a very dear, smart friend tell me, here's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is turning over a sinner to the justice of God. Just, you don't handle it no more, you just give them to God. Wrong answer. I'm going to give you the right answer. You know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is when the love of God stirs your heart so deeply that you will beg God that His justice not be met out on the sinner. That's what forgiveness is. At 32,000 feet, I took my wife before the throne of God and I begged God not to mete out His justice on her. You know what, church? You need to know something. Forgiveness is not the issue. Love is the issue. Forgiveness is only a byproduct of love. You know what we do, though? We try to forgive without love. We try to forgive because it's our duty. We're supposed to. Matter of fact, I'm gonna forgive you because how it makes me feel. We go in the strangest places in our minds. And God says, I don't think so. So I'm tempted to ask you, are you going to be the forgiving father or the unforgiving son? But rather I should say, church, you have a choice whether to be a loving father or an unloving son. Every day in your relationships with each other, in your relationship toward your preacher and your preacher's wife, in your relationship toward your kids, toward your co-workers, what's it going to be? Oh, I had some notes that was leading me somewhere. Oh, yeah. I landed on the ground in California. They were really apprehensive about letting me get on the ground there, but Charity came up to me running down the hallway and hugged me and wouldn't let go. 10-15 minutes, everybody walking by like, I'm just enjoying the moment, you know. I couldn't hug that tight again for that long a time for nothing. Charity just looked up in my eyes, and you know what she knew? She saw unconditional forgiveness. And it changed who she was. So I'm a new guy, and so is my wife. If you don't like it, you're going to have to determine that. You know, we're pretty proud of it, and we're going to deal with it. Interesting thing, on the way home, we decided we'd better take a few weeks and get ourselves together and maybe take a long way home. So we was only 40 miles or so from Yosemite, and I decided, hey, if we're here, I should see Yosemite National Park. It's a selfish deal, but Charity never quit crying the whole way home. You know why? Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know that my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inmost being, and in the hidden parts you will make known wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation. That was Charity's set of verses, Psalms chapter 51. She took refuge in the Word of God. So inside Yosemite National Park, not to put a plug in for it, it is the prettiest place on the planet. We're driving along, we're talking, we're healing, we're figuring out things, we're making headway. We decided to stop at a little river there and go put our feet. Try not to get eaten by the bears at the river. And there we sat, and it dawned on me I hadn't talked to God since the airplane. And I was going to have to talk to God or burst, one of the two. And I said this to Charity. I said, would you pray to God with me? You know what she said? No, I don't think I can. I don't think I'm ready. So it's okay. Can I pray? Is that okay? Yep. Boy, there, I hear the water dancing on the rocks. See the little wood duck floating down here? I'm pouring out my heart to God. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done in my life. Keep my kids at home safe. Heal the church's heart. Show us love, Father. I'm just pouring it out there. Forgive me for having unforgiveness in my heart. Help me to be more like you, God. And I wrap up my prayer, say thank you in the name of Jesus, and I look up, and I go back to looking at the wood duck. I start looking around, see if there's any bears. It's quiet. Charity's right here. I'm here. Then something happened. I heard the sweet voice of my wife raised to the heavens. Women can't speak in church, didn't you know that? I'm trying to lighten you up. I heard her voice as she met God. I listened to her pour out the thoughts of her heart to her Heavenly Father, and I knew from that moment all was going to be fine. And from there, we drove to Las Vegas to see Chumley of the Pawn Stars. I have pictures if you'd like to see them. But we had to make haste home because God had some work that He needed to accomplish through us. My brother Glenn He knew what we needed. He didn't even ask me. He just made it so. Brother Glenn. Called Dr. Walker down to Lubbock and said, these guys need time with you. They're coming. What's the date? And then he called me and said, you're going. And I said, it's what I needed. He knew that's what I needed. And let me tell you something. There are several counselors in my life, because I got a few screws kind of loose. You ain't ever been counseled by anybody until you're counseled by an elder in the Lord's church who's a clinical psychologist. We got our motor overhauled in Lubbock. We got down to some problems that's been there that I didn't even know was problems. God has taken two of His creatures and He sent them off for a little refurbishing. Colton, give me the next slide, buddy. In case you're not getting the point, I told you I worked really hard at this PowerPoint, okay? Next slide, please, Colton. One more slide, buddy. Y'all got it? So the jury's still out on how the Cedarloo Church will act. Satan's before God, and Satan says, hey, they'll fall apart. It's caused some problem between the preacher and his wife. They'll tear a church up any day of the week and twice on Sunday. Well, that's not the sense I'm getting from y'all. Praise the Lord. So what we're going to do is we're going to move forward as a church family that loves each other. If you have any questions, we have no secrets. Come and ask us. How's that? We give God the glory in all things. Oh, I hope you don't have to get at 32,000 feet for God to show you the way. I hope God doesn't need to spank your little bottom so that you'll listen to Him. I kind of tend to be that way. My mom might agree that sometimes I get hard-headed and need whooping. That's just the mother speaking. But it's true. What do you need? I know you pretty good. I know in this auditorium who is haunted by their past and doesn't know how to live in the present. I know in this auditorium who struggles with the justice of God and feels like you're such an agent in it that you have to mete out God's justice in a judgmental, legalistic way. I know who you are. I know in this room which of you doesn't want to walk forward, who just doesn't want to say, God, I'm yours. I'm just going to love like there's no tomorrow. I know who you are. When we sing the invitation song, will you come forward or not? I wouldn't make you if I could. We're not going to sing just as I am and work on your emotions, are we? We're going to let you make the decision to meet God. And to let love determine your spirituality. As we stand and praise God.